I shared this message at Planted. I'm going to repeat it this morning. I really believe it's a conclusion of something that God is doing in our hearts. And I want all of you to be on the same page. So I'll be speaking about that this morning. If you've heard it last week, then it's a double anointing. So don't switch your brain off. It's actually a good time to refresh and to come onto the same page. Okay, guys, I'm so excited about what God is doing in our hearts. I said, God, please don't take us to the next level if you don't complete what you want to do in this season. So one of the things that God said to us as a board yesterday when we met is just be sure that when I start to provide, that you be vigilant not to be like Israel and go into the promised land and forget about me. So I want to just say this morning, we give God the glory, we stay vigilant, and we trust in God for great things to come. I'm very excited about what God is doing in our hearts. Isaiah 55, verse 1 to 7. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, okay, no credit cards, no pounds, no euros. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Okay, so those of you that don't eat rich food, it's time to change your diet. Incline your ear and come to me here, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord. Okay, church, seek the Lord. Okay, are you awake?
Amen.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Does it mean that sometime God is not going to be found? This is not what the writer is saying. The focus is that there's an urgency to come back to the Lord. And this morning I want to say to you, there's an urgency in our hearts to just do what Malisha said this morning, is to come to God and to again be His, that song that we sang now. Call upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, first of all, I want to just say this morning, this promise includes you, okay? This is a promise to Israel, clearly, and people are debating about, who this was addressed to. We know that it was a word given to Isaiah for the sake of his people, the promised nation of God. But if you read Isaiah and the promises that and the covenant promises that God has given Isaiah, the first 39 chapters was condemnation, brimstone, come back to God, you are a nation that went away from God, and it was a lot of punishment and promises about punishment that Isaiah brought. It was difficult chapters. And I must say, if you read Isaiah, the first 39 chapters, you realize that God was not pleased with where his people were. And then from the, after the 39th chapter, about the 40th and the next, then 27 chapters, and it's ironic because we know that the Old Testament is 39 chapters and the New Testament 27 chapters of promise. 39 in the Old Testament about God dealing with his people and the fact that they needed a savior, and then the last 27 chapters of Isaiah, bringing us to the 27 books of the New Testament, which leads us into the promise of the Messiah, the one that brought the hope. Now, if you read in Isaiah chapter 55, you must see it in this context, because chapter 55 comes in the promise chapters. The fact that God has again brought himself as the Savior of Israel to the promises that he always had for Israel in saying that I will even send somebody, the Messiah, that will bring us back to that relationship, that covenant relationship that we had. And so in chapter 53, we read about the servant leader. Okay, you guys are missing me here. For those who have Bibles with them, go to chapter 53 quickly, because I want you to see this in context. Isaiah chapter 53. Yeah, we are. Who has believed what he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. And this is now prophesying about the Messiah again. It's so significant, and I want you to see the significance of this. And like a root out of the dry ground, and he had no form or majesty that he should look at him, and no beauty that should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. And so the whole of the chapter goes on about the suffering servant, the one that would come for us as a hope to restore us back to this relationship with God. So chapter 55 is in the midst of these promises being restored. God again bringing himself back to his people. And I'm so excited about it because I know that God is saying, come everyone who thirsts, means that you and I are included. Because in these chapters, it's talking about the promises to come to everyone who believes in this Messiah and who believes in God's promise and redemptive work for the time to come. So if we are included in that, I can also say to you that he's talking to these people and he's saying, everyone who thirsts. And I want to say to you, if we look at the times that we are in, we must be honest with ourselves in saying that there's a lot of thirsty people. Depression is around us, and we've heard it this weekend with all the stats that Heinrich brought us as well. You know, the greatest depression rate of all times is upon us. Every nation that is so sorted and first world and focused today is struggling with the greatest depression rate ever. And yet, you know, in the midst of all of this, this chapter says all who are thirsty, which means that some people actually get it wrong as well, because it says that some are spending their money toward the wrong things. Some of us sitting here might be spending our money on the wrong things. And I'm including myself. Sometimes we spend our money on the wrong things. Because if the chapter says that, you know, every one of us are included and that some are using their resources and their hard labor toward the wrong things, it says that there is actually an answer. And it says, but you must come. You must make the decision to be thirsty enough for the right thing, because you can also be filled with the... Okay. Wrong thing. Great. I'm bringing you into my sermon this morning. So, in the world that we are living today, it seems that the more safer we try to be as a community and worldwide, the more radical we become and the more adventurous, and we will go to the extremes that we will even die for any cause. Are you with me? You know, I was driving past a big banner when I went to Eastbourne that said, save the locomotive, okay? And I thought, it's crazy how these days people are looking for any cause, and I'm not saying that's not a good cause. I know that people are passionate about the railway services in the UK. I'm not belittling any anyone here. I know some people love their little Pekingese dogs and they will have a cause for that. But it's strange how everyone wants a cause these days. When you go to Trafalgar Square, I can promise you, you're going to find causes that you have not known before. Okay? It's anything from my green tea to my green garden. Okay? There's anything that must be saved. And as long as I have a cause to live by, you know, I have purpose in life. Are you with me this morning? The more organized and the more, independent we become, the less, you know, we have control. It seems to me that, you know, the world is not finding the water that we are talking about here. And they are thirsty more than ever. And I want to say to you, no ground is hard, too hard for God to reach. That this gospel that we are talking about in Isaiah 55, the promise, the promise to come, is penetrating any hard heart. And it brings all of us to the understanding that there is actually an answer. Yes, the world rejects this answer, but we need to come to an understanding of contentment in Christ and to thirst for the right things. And I want to ask you this morning, are you thirsting for the right things? Thanks for that beautiful illustration, Malisha, because that's so perfect in line with what God is saying to us. Some of us are carrying baggage with us and we don't understand that that's not part of God's journey for us now. It's time to get rid of it, to work. So we find our contentment in being work slaves, not productive work agents that is good stewards. We become slaves of our works. We become so extreme in the sports that we are doing that we get close to dying for it. We fight causes that is not necessarily of God. This doesn't make sense. And I want to say to you, this message this morning is to all of us. It will cost you nothing but everything. And it's like that great pearl that you will be searching for, that amazing promise that God has, but you will have to give everything in your life to preserve it. And this is the message this morning, that although you and I have the freedom, and it is for free, it will cost you everything. That this message and this promise brings us to the understanding that, listen, you will have to adjust your life. You will have to put away those baggage things in your life so that you can actually get to God's ways of doing things. God's promise for your life. So I'm by no means saying this morning that it includes you and it's so free that you can do whatever you want. I'm saying to you, it's going to be a tough journey. But the amazing thing about it is that it is such a promising journey. And we'll get to those promises just now. Being thirsty means you have a need that can only be satisfied by the right thing. There's some that buy bread and labor for things that do not satisfy. And rich food is the only thing that will satisfy. The world is waiting for blood-washed, bought-out, sold-out, purified people of God. Let's get back to verse 6 quickly. Verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let his wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." One of the biggest challenges that we have, though, in the time that we are living, is the balance between a seeker-sensitive church and a church that is radical enough to follow God with all that you have. And I'm not saying that, you know, God is not extending his mercy to us to go and reach us where we are at. But I'm telling you that we can't stay there. We can't stay at a place where we are like children all the time and thinking that we are going to come closer to the one that has all the promises. Because we are going to put all our labor in the wrong things and not the things of God, the promises of God. And so I can't force anyone to make the right choice, but I can stand in faith with you to grow to the promises that God has for your life. And so, you know, I told the story this weekend as well, but it was amazing. I came to London in 98. I had a cornea transplant. I couldn't finish my studies, and I had to come here because my dad said, you're not going to lie at home. You will have to go and work for your money. I decided that the quickest way would be to earn pounds. And so I came here. I first worked in South Africa for about 2-3 months to get a flight ticket, the money for the flight ticket. And I got here at, I think at that stage it was Earl's Court, actually, if I remember correctly. But I came into the city with Piccadilly Line, big backpack. You know, those days the backpack was the, you know, the everyone just wanted to backpack. You know, you had this idea that when you go to Europe, you just pack your bag and you just go wherever you you find yourself. And I had £100 in my pocket, thinking that I will survive. £100 in rand at that stage for me was crazy. I thought £100 would take me for the rest of the month. I mean, if I just think about it, you know, as a student. And I got to Earl's Court. There was a student accommodation place, and I stayed there for, I think I paid for 2 or 3 nights, I can't remember, in advance with my £100, and that was it. Okay, it was finished. And I was standing there next to Buckingham Castle at a red booth, a telephone booth, and I was standing in the telephone booth. I called my dad and my mom, and I remember my dad picking up the phone on that side because I did a collect call. I didn't have money to actually call them, but I did a collect call. They luckily accepted, and I spoke to my dad. And at that moment, I said to him, "Dad, this is amazing, but I'm out of money. I'm standing here next to Buckingham Palace, and I realized that you know I've taken a brave move here, but this is tough. There's no money for food. There's no. Now those days, you credit cards was amazing, but it was not that accessible as it is today. You worked with cash, okay? Cash and no mobile phones. It was still money in the telephone booth kind of thing. I think mobiles just came out, so it was still a new thing. But I was talking to my dad, and the two of us started to cry together. I was crying on this side. He was crying on that side. And we just shared moments. And he said to me, "My son, this is it. This is where the boy must become a man. It's time to step up in life and trust God now. You know that you are there because God led you to go. He opened every door for you, but now you'll have to trust Him." And I was standing there, and when I think back in my life, that was the moment when I stepped up in life and took responsibility for my life. Until then, you know, I always phoned my dad, and he would always, as a student, you know, just do a deposit, and I would have money to do so. So, Jackie, those days are gone, okay? I know it's exciting to get your first salary. Rose, it's gone, okay? Don't call Dad, okay? It's. I was standing there, and what I realized is, even though my dad could afford it, even though he actually, you know, his heart was clearly with me, he knew that if he's not going to allow me to go through this process now, I will never step up in life and take ownership of the responsibility of living. The beautiful thing was that, you know, I went from that red telephone booth. I went to back to the student hostel, and in my bag I got this one VHS tape still that I had to deliver to a guy that asked me to bring it from South Africa to him because it was a rugby game, rugby union game between two local schools, I think Boysey and Grey or something like that, and he wanted to see this, and I went and I thought, let me just, you know, with the last that I have, just get this VHS tape at least to him. When I got to him that night, he gave me food and he said to me, listen, I will take care of you until you get your job. I couldn't get work, you know, in the first 2-3 weeks because I still had to go and do training. But my story to you this morning is some of us never step up and take responsibility of our lives. We keep on drinking the wrong water. We go to the wrong well, and we never get to be dependent on the true source that's the only one that can quench that thirst. My message to you this morning is I can encourage you to become the person that you must become. I can pray for you, which I do. Me and my wife pray for you guys. Trust God with you. We are committed to you. But one thing that I cannot do is I cannot make you grow and come closer to God. That's a decision that you will have to make and you'll have to step up into. Because that moment I knew when I left that telephone booth, I knew where to run to. I had the only source of life that I had at that stage was to say, because I didn't know this guy, I didn't know if he's going to help me out. I only knew God, and I said, God, what should I do? And the Holy Spirit led me to take this VHS tape, because I didn't have to take this tape at this stage. But I can tell you, for you this morning, the challenge lies within stepping in and quenching your thirst with the right thing. And God is so committed that He will lead you. And I want to say to you, this church is not a social club. It's a bunch of people that are committed to follow Christ and to follow Him wholeheartedly, which means that they've got a lifestyle to inspire one another to get closer to God. And I'm so proud of you. I want to say to you, you know what? This holiday, I thought, God, just give me a break. This is the first summer holiday that we have. And God came through for us. Not because of my doing or because of your small group leader, but because you trusted God. And every one of you have a story to tell. If I call you to the front this morning, every one of you can tell the story of God's faithfulness. In a very personal way. Isaiah 55 verse 8 then. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, so shall my word be, okay, are you with me this morning? So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. So the second thing that I want to say to you this morning is, He loves you. So there's so many stories in the Bible where we can see God's love and His commitment to His people. There's so many stories being told this morning about God's love. And for me, that story of Marco telling this morning about the cake and, you know, each one of us can grab our piece of cake. I want to say to you this morning, you know, the beautiful thing about this season is that God is doing it in a very, very personal way. Johan, you never thought that God would come through with the job that you actually want. Jackie, you never thought there will be an end to your studies. 2 months ago, you know, she almost died in this church because of her hectic schedule. Elizabeth, although it was painful, you've trusted God since we've been coming 2 years ago for a solution to a problem in your physical health. Is God not faithful? And so I can go through the ranks here. God is in such a personal way meeting you where you are. And this is the God that I know. The God that is faithful in the midst of our circumstances. But do you know that love gets tested? And if you look in the Bible, you know, for Abram, it means, Abram, come out of the land that that you are in and go to the land that I am going to give you in the future. Come from the land of the Chaldeans, which is today probably Pakistan / Iran, Iraq. I don't know exactly where it is, but it's on the riverbanks there. A beautiful piece of land that he had flock and he prospered. And God said to him, come out of the land of the Chaldeans and go into the land of your forefathers. And so Abram took all of his stuff and his family and he went all the way. And the people asked him, so where are you going? And Abram said, I'm going to where God is going to lead me. So it's not as if Abram had a clear-cut, exact geographical area or pinpoint, you know, what is it, that he had to follow to get to where. It was an unknown territory. It was difficult to actually be obedient, as we heard it this morning, to say that, God, I love you enough that I'm not going to stay in this beautiful place with all of the beautiful promises. I'm actually going to go to a land that I don't know, but I'm going to follow you. It's going to be difficult, but God, I'm not daring missing your calling. And you know what? If you are pessimistic, I can tell you this morning, you can say, but what a kind of God that loves his people will then go to Abram and say to him, listen, the only promise, the biggest promise that you've given me, you're taking away through Isaac. I must now go and give up the only promise, and I've been obedient, God, I've been tested. And yet, the beautiful thing is that God stopped him just before he kills Isaac, and he said, now I know that you love me. Love gets tested. This is a difficult one, but I can tell you that in the midst of our understanding of this God that loves us so much that he will fulfill everything in his power to bring the best for us, we must also know that we will be tested in the progress of where we are going. And for us as humans, it's a lot more easier to choose the systems of this world and our current securities to fulfill life. And yet, it's going to cost you everything. You don't know who to believe anymore these days. You know, who's the real source of truth or the answers? If you listen to any guy in the economics these days, be careful, okay, you guys with the management skills to tell us how to manage finances. I can tell you, even to them these days, it's so difficult to predict because it's so volatile. And what I can tell you is, in the midst of all of this, you know, I think it was Malcolm actually that said this weekend about the youth. Was it you? I think about the youth and you know, some parents saying to the youth, listen, don't trust everything that you hear on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all of the social media platforms. You know, there's so much news. You know, be careful not to fall for the fake news as we know it these days. And then the youth would say, but yes, Dad, Mom, so it's fine to say that, but you've been listening to one source of information for your whole life, and you made all of your decisions concerning life according to the information that you received out of one newspaper. As a boy, I remember we got the newspaper on our doorstep every morning, 6 o'clock, and I grew up like that. You know, an Afrikaans newspaper, Die Burger in South Africa. And you would read everything that is in it, and you would believe everything that it says. Until years after that, I started to actually at varsity read English newspapers as well, and I realized that this was such an indoctrination, actually, of you know, the old apartheid system. And to enforce it, I'm not knocking the newspaper. Please don't fight me. But what I can tell you is that it's strange how we would believe certain sources in life as the only truth because we put our trust in it. And these days, it's strange that, you know, with the youth, the mat is really taken out under them because they must now navigate themselves in the midst of all the information that they receive. They must navigate themselves in deciding, you know, do my parents even know anything? And I'm serious. Because what they get fed at school is different even than that what they are being fed at school, at house, at the home. And the things that they receive in the media is so diverse and different, they must actually make choices that you and I never had to make. Because we just believed whatever we were fed. But I can tell you these days, in the times that we are in, it's so difficult to navigate yourself and to put your trust in something. Because you are the one that's going to decide what is that something. The challenge is just that if you are going to go according to the Western world and according to the Western politics and West, you're going to find it very difficult to really even figure out what's happening at Brexit. And what is the true story and what is the... Are you with me? And I'm not mocking anyone this morning, but what I can tell you, this is a nightmare. Because each one of us must make a choice in where do we put our trust. And so if we say that God loves us and if we say we are loved by God, I can tell you if you don't put your trust in God and wholeheartedly be obedient to that trust in Him, it's going to be very difficult to find the source of life if you are not willing to part from the other. Are you with me this morning? And so, love in relationships go through test. You know, for me and my wife, it's the same. It gets tested. How committed are you? Do you believe in me? Do you still feel the same about me? And, you know, I've seen it now. Also told the story, but it was beautiful to watch the kids, you know, on this cycle trip. They had to go with us on the cycle trip, on the missions trip, because Heinrich and Nikki actually forgot their passports in Eastbourne, so they missed their flight, and so they had to go with Milani to the Netherlands. After we went back to Eastbourne to go and fetch the passports, they you know, we couldn't get a flight again that was actually, you know, cheap enough to fly. You guys know how it is in those last minute summer break tickets. So they had to wait until the Friday so that they could go with Milani, and then they were filling the seats. So we had to take the kids on the missions trip on the Thursday already, which was an amazing experience for them. Amazing in the sense of spiritual, but also amazing in the food that was produced from the front seat. It's sweets, biscuits, you know.
Pasta.
Oh, pasta as well. Okay. amazing. Laura was amazing, I must say. She was probably the best, you know, missions mom, you know, making food and driving the vehicle and everything that I've seen. But now, amazingly, these kids were using the opportunity now to thrive in doing whatever, you know, is not happening in our home, okay? So it was anything from eat as much as you can and make sure not to miss out on anything to you know, to sleep as late as you can. Now, child services must not listen to this one, but on the Thursday night when we got to the ferry, I was so tired. After 150 k's on the bicycle, you know, you just want to lie down. I first went for a shower. You know, it was amazing in the cabin there on the ferry. And then I just went to lie down in bed, and I said to, because Lana was also sleeping in the cabin with me, and I asked her to go and get me some hot chocolate because I was so thirsty. It was so hot that day. I think it was 32 degrees or something like that, was it? I don't want to lie. It was something like that. So it was really hot on the road, and so I asked them, please just go and get anything to drink. Hot chocolate would be amazing. So in the meanwhile, I don't know, and I'm so glad Melanie was not there to hear this story, but only afterwards. I woke up with the alarm for the next morning in the boat, and I realized that there was hot chocolate in front of my bed, and I was wondering what happened to Lana and Anna in the meanwhile. They used every opportunity to go and scout the boat. But they brought my hot chocolate, and I just fell asleep. But what I realized is, through this trip, is that it's not always good to give kids everything they want. You know, soon, on the second day, they were starting to ask, you know, how far are we from the destination? We miss Mom. Where's Mom? You know, how far is Mom? And I realized that even in all of the liberty that they receive, they love the order that my wife brings in the home. You know, the thing that I want to talk about this morning is that, you know if you give them all they want, it won't be good to them. Because you have a better grasp on the bigger picture, you know what is hurtful to them. And you know what? It's strange how they easily manipulate you in the meanwhile to get to what they want. For those of you that don't know kids, I can tell you, see Mel is shaking her head. They let you feel bad. If you say no, they let you feel that you are the worst. It the worst. So that you will change your mind and give them whatever they want. And this is how we operate with God. It's strange that, you know, we sometimes think that this loving God should just produce. Whenever we push the button, you know, it's amazing. We've slept in a place there in Paris with the kids, and it feels like everything is just automated. If you want a toothbrush, you just push a button. You know, if you want coffee, you push a button. And if you, you know, want to get into the room, you just push a button. You know, it's everything is just so automated. And strange how we work with God the same way. That we have this understanding that as long as God loves me, He will give me everything that I want. And if not, I will be cross with Him. Because that's not how love works. Love works that you give people that which they desire, is it not so? But I can tell you from experience, it's not always good for children to receive what they want. Because I have a bigger grasp on the reality and the bigger picture that is good in the long run for their lives. God can see in the future, is it not so? He knows what is best for us. In the long term, He knows what is the perfect journey for you and I to walk. And that's why when it says His ways is higher than ours, it's not just because He can see in the future. He knows that the present is not necessarily good for us. And so all of us go through difficult circumstances at times because our love gets tested. Are we in a place where we just want God to produce for us? And I've been at that place. I'm telling you, years ago, I remember, you know, we've invested in a guy's firm, and we lost all of our money. And I remember how I was questioning God. I said, God, how is it that the righteous must always struggle and find it difficult to go by in life? You know, I was so immature in my thinking. I was asking God, God, why is it that the unrighteous can actually get away with this? How is it that, God, I'm so committed, and listen to this self-righteousness, I'm so committed to the cause. I'm so committed. My whole family is struggling so that I can fulfill your life's calling, and yet things like this happen to me. And I'm having this conversation with God, and God needs to teach me that, listen, my son, maybe this is the best thing that could have ever happened in your life. Maybe this is the place that you must now step up and become a man and take ownership of your life. Because I love you enough to say to you, this is not the most important thing in your life. I know better for you. I know that there's things that you need right now that might not look good in the present, but in the future, it will be better for you. And so it's disappointing, but it's so of God. My question to you this morning is, do you want to invest in everlasting fruit, or do you want to invest in the present and get whatever you want? Because if that is where you're at, Isaiah 55 is not for you. Isaiah 55 says, listen, this is an amazing promise, covenant promise, it's true to you all, it includes you. But you must make the decision, are you going to thirst for the right thing? Are you going to put yourself at a place where you can actually... And Job was such a person. The enemy said, listen, don't think that Job is so righteous and that he gets everything right on earth. Just touch his belongings and you will see how he will curse you to your face, God. And you know what's the beautiful promise or the beautiful story about... Job's life, when Job said, though he slays me, I will serve him. Though he slays me, I will serve him. Although the fig tree may not blossom, are you going to make the decision to say, God, I'm going to be vigilant enough to, even in the times of provision now, I'm going to keep on focusing? Because you are not a slot machine. You are truly a God that wants best for me. God, this is not it. This is not it. There's greater things that you want for my life, and I'm going to focus on those. This was where Job was. Job was focused, and he said, though he slays me, I will serve him. If God really loves me, a no from God does not mean God does not love us. Our disappointments bring us to an understanding that God's ways are greater than ours. And that's my third point and last point, and I'm finishing quickly. I can trust that His word will accomplish. God's wisdom is infinitely higher than ours. He always has foreknowledge of every action in our lives. What looks like a blessing to me might be a curse that God wants to prevent in my life. God has eternity in mind. I want to satisfy the present. I want to satisfy the present. I want what is good now. God wants to bless me for the future. And it's going to cost us. We must choose to satisfy the present or the long-term perspective of God. Sin has pleasures, but God always have eternal rewards. I trust God that He uses my current circumstances to produce eternal
reward.
Let's stand this morning. I'm hoping that this is hitting home today. You know why? Because you don't make decisions like this when it goes hard. Decisions to follow Him even though He slays me happens in prosperity moments. Because it will be too hard to make those when it's difficult. God, I will serve You. Doesn't matter how it goes in the future. I'm not worried about, is it going to be a million-rand check or a million-pound check, sorry, or a million, a thousand-pound check. God, I am committed to Your promise for my life. And so I want to say to you this morning, you know what? I love you a lot. But I love God more. And I've seen that, you know, we are so committed to one another, and it's amazing. I'm so blessed by the family that we've created here, and the commitment from family that we see here. It's tremendous. I've just watched our people again this weekend, and I was so blessed just by the way in which we pray for one another, how we see what breakthroughs in one another's lives. But I want to say to you this morning, you know, people can let you down, this church can let you down, this church will not be the solution to your problems. Even though we love this church, you know, I love this church, I've been born and bred in this church. But what I can tell you, this is not my solution. And in times of trouble, I'm not going to look at the church or the pastor or the... Well, I can't run to any pastor in this church. I can only run to God. That's the fortunate thing. You guys won't help me. No, I'm joking. You know, I want to conclude in just saying that I can trust that no heart is too hard to resist the good news of the hope of the Savior. This is what Isaiah 55 is saying. Stop believing the lie that the people that are in your neighborhood will not be able to receive the gospel. That's nonsense. There are people that are thirsty like never before. I can trust that God's love is so much that He wants the best for me. I can trust that God, that His word will not return empty. And I can trust that God's provision and timing are the best for my eternal well-being, although it's hard in the present. Father, we stand. Can I just ask Malisha and Ed to get us the communion, please? Father God, we stand before You in anticipation for what You're going to do in this season. Thank You for Your promises that is so true, and it's yes and amen. It's Father, in the midst of testing circumstances, we always ask the questions, is God really going to? Is God faithful? Does He love me? And if He loves me, why is He not coming through? And God, we even repent of those moments, Father, when we doubt Your provision and Your love toward us this morning. We repent, Father God, for not trusting wholeheartedly that You will be the solution to every problem in our lives. God, I know that You've spoken to me and You said to me that I trust You in the big things, but I often forget to consult You on the small, and I'm convicted, Father. I want to make sure to, in this season, really come to You with the small things as well, with the everyday life things. I want to journey with You. And this morning, Father, as we come to You with the promise of Isaiah 55, Father, we want to declare that Your ways are higher than ours, that we trust You, and that we want to only invest in your eternal reward for our lives. We know that you know best, and we want to follow your heart. Teach us your ways, God. Keep us vigilant. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us about vigilance all the time, so that we don't forget the Lord our God when we enter the land of provision, but that we will always be dependent on you for everything that we receive. In the wonderful name of Jesus. And so this morning, we take the bread, and we know that it symbolizes the body that we are part of, the promise for your return, and that you are tirelessly working at building your church, and you are committed to your body. You are committed to your loved ones, and you're not going to forsake us, not now, not ever. And God, we want to make a choice this morning that even though things are going difficult in the future, and it's not always going to be prosperous, we will trust in you. In Jesus' name, we receive this morning the body, and we thank you for it. We drink the wine this morning, Father, because your Son has died for us. And in remembrance to his suffering, we come to you this morning and we say, our suffering is little by what you've accomplished, Jesus. You are the perfect example. And we drink this morning because we can be partakers, but out of respect as well for the suffering that you went through for us. In Jesus' name, let's drink. Will you be able to do new wine? Will you be able to do the new wine song?
Sure.
Let's end off with the song of new wine. You know, it was for me such a prophetic declaration in this season past, you know. It was, even though we didn't see all the promises of the song, you know, it was for me such a beautiful picture of what God wants to do in this new season. And clearly, as Margot said as well, and Malisha, you know, it's a new fresh things, and let's commit ourselves to that. If you need any prayer this morning, you know, I'm not rushing through to get rid of you. I'm very committed this morning to and fired up to pray with you. If you need any prayer, you need healing, you need even emotional healing, please bring it before God this morning. If you still need a breakthrough, let's trust God. Let's push through. And then we will have something to eat afterwards. Great. Father, we thank you for this morning. And as we sing this song, we just want to say that you are good to us. And we are committed to you. But we know that you are even more committed to us. We praise your name, Father, for this new season, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to fulfill a promise that I made and rectify a mistake that I made to include them in the communion this morning. So can we serve them quickly?
Amen.
You know, it's beautiful. They've asked actually to be part of it, and I clearly missed it. And this morning, let's do it with the children. You know, it's such a beautiful part of their growth to also experience communion. Now, I so appreciate what my parents did in my life to always remind me of these principles, these biblical principles, you know, from a small age, because in times when it gets tough, you know, it's strange how you run to the right place if you get taught these things throughout your life. So why do we eat the bread, Lana? It's Jesus' body. And Zoe, why do we drink the wine?
Because it's Jesus' blood.
It's Jesus' blood, eh? And we drink it and we eat it to remember what He has done for us on the cross. Hey, Nulita? Yes. I was wondering if I should give her the mic or not, but she might she might start to preach. Yeah. So this morning we eat together, because we are reminding ourselves of His goodness in our lives and that we are part of His body. Amen.
Amen.
Let's eat together. And then we drink together because of His blood that was spilled for us, and because we are part of the new covenant, of the promise to have eternal life. And this morning we drink together because we are part of that promise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, that we are partakers and that your promise is true from such a beautiful small age already to us. And it includes all of us. We bring our children to you this morning and we say thank you that they are included. That because they are making decisions for you, Father, they can also be partakers. And this morning we pray your blood over them, your protection over them, that you will take them from strength to strength to lead us in the future. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Be blessed. Anyone that needs prayer, please come. We'll have something to eat there in front. Blessings, guys.